Thank you for having me here today. When I was offered to do this, I was at first like, I can't talk in front of people. That's not what I do. But my dream, my desire always is to praise God. So if in talking to you today I give him praise and glory, then I will stand up here nervous and afraid and I will do it for Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yes, my name's Sandy Ryder. So I'm Val's daughter-in-law, so I'm married to Val's youngest son, Steve. I've been walking with Jesus probably for about 24 years, so half my life, and I won't tell you how old I am, but... my desire is always to serve him and to love others. And my husband is Steve. He's the pastor of the Gatton Church of Christ. So we moved to Gatton about 4 years ago after Steve finished at seminary and gained a position down there. I work part-time at a GP clinic in Gatton, and I'm also currently studying a Diploma of Counselling through AIFC. So we are very busy people. We've been married for 18 years and we don't have any children of our own, unfortunately. We both want to glorify God and help others get to know him. So I'm going to share with you some stories, and I've changed the names of the people for privacy and confidentiality. I'm going to tell you Simone's story. So Simone is a young PNG girl. She grew up in a family where her dad was violent towards her, her mum, and her siblings. She grew up in a family where dad isolated them from their extended family members. Where Simone's mum is unable to be in contact with her own mum and dad, except under the watchful eye of Simone's dad. He is very controlling and oppressive. Simone grew up in a family where dad would beat her mum, and she would use herself as a shield to protect her mum. She grew up in a family where dad would beat her, but she would wrap her arms around him and hug him to make him stop. She grew up in a culture where beating your wife and kids is part of that male-dominated oppression of that society, and calling the police is of no help at all. It actually makes things worse. So Simone was given the opportunity to come to Australia on a student visa to study. Her parents took out a loan to enable her to come here. Unfortunately, the company that she went through, who sets up the course, the accommodation, her health insurance, they're dodgy. And they take advantage of their students, especially financially. Before leaving PNG, Simone said goodbye to her long-term boyfriend, whom she had been dating since high school. Simone then came to Australia. She studied. She worked on a farm doing very hard labour to support herself while she studied. She lived in a dodgy, expensive, unsafe, unhygienic, overcrowded, shared accommodation during this time. And yes, this is in Australia, in the Lockyer Valley. The Gatton Church of Christ is a very multi-ethnic church. We have about a dozen different countries represented each Sunday, and it's wonderful. Simone started attending our church and was very much embraced, along with all the Wontoks who worship with us. And if you're unfamiliar with the term Wontok, it means one talk, and it applies to those who speak the language Tokpisin, and I hope I said that correctly. They're islander people from Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and Vanuatu. So they call themselves Wontoks, one talk. So Steve and I get to know Simone through our young adults ministry in the church. And one day she tells me that she needs to see a doctor as she is having issues with her menstrual cycle. So since I work at a GP clinic, I get her an appointment and I offer to go with her. So she wants me to go with her and we go together. So the doctor asks her questions and orders some tests. Simone can't afford the appointments. So Steve and I are happy to help out with this and we pay for those and the blood tests. So one day when I'm at work, Simone finds out the results of her blood tests and she finds out that she is pregnant. She's around 18 weeks by this point. And no, she didn't show. She freaks out. She contemplates her options. She knows she's in a predicament. In her culture, she's now brought shame on herself and her family. Adding to this, she knows that her parents got out a loan that they can hardly afford so that she could come to Australia to study and get a good job. But now she's pregnant. She has very little money herself, and her health insurance does not cover her pregnancy. She's no family here, and she only has a few girlfriends. She lives in a dodgy, unsafe share house. She has brought shame on her family. She will be shunned by her PNG community here in Australia. So she contemplates taking her life. She's unable to face her family, especially her dad. She cannot tell her parents. If she returns to PNG, he would beat her or possibly kill her. And in her absence, he would beat and blame her mum. Her dad would demand to know the father of the baby and would possibly kill him as an honour killing. She's got nowhere to turn. She thinks she needs to terminate this pregnancy because that will solve all her problems. So she sends me text messages saying that she wants to kill herself, and I immediately try calling her to find out where she is. So I'm texting her and I'm calling her. She's not answering any of my calls. She's not answering any of my texts. So she goes missing and we can't find her. Steve and I, plus another Wontok girl who is in our church, we search frantically for her because we are afraid she's going to do something. We call the police to help and we get people praying to God for her. She is finally located in a park, laying on a park bench, crying her eyes out. Steve is concerned that she may have taken something. So he gently asks her, "Have you taken anything?" And we're relieved to find out that she hasn't. She's scared out of her mind. What is she going to do? She tells us she needs to get rid of this baby or kill herself. These are her only options. Steve and I are pro-life. God created each individual person, and they are of value to him, and each person has a purpose. I'm not going to join that hysterical debate about pro-choice and pro-life that some people do. All I'll say here is that there is more to it than just saying to a woman to keep her baby. Whether she's a believer or not, she may not be thinking in terms of creation and God. She may be thinking in terms of practicality, of fear, of shame. What am I going to do is not a simple question to answer. Even if a woman wants to keep her baby, her decision is not always based on need or on want, sorry, more on need, on fear, or on despair. We cannot just say to Simone, "Oh, keep your baby, it'll be all right." This girl is out of her mind with fear, stress, and uncertainty. What am I going to do now? She's blinded by her situation. Sorry, I didn't. My clicker's not good because I didn't turn it on. I did get told beforehand to turn it on. So James 2:16 says, as you all know, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Steve and I live on our own. We've lived on our own for 18 years. We're set in our ways. We're private people. We have a routine. We know each other very well. However, with God, there is always a challenge. Do you really want to be more like Jesus? But God, we don't know this girl very well. But God, what if we can't afford to feed another person? But God, we both work and we have a crazy dog. But God, what if you call us somewhere else? But God, you all know what God says. Trust me. So Steve and I step up and say, "It's okay, you can come and live with us. We will look after you." She is sceptical about the offer but is relieved and agrees. She wants to keep her baby, but she doesn't know how. come and live with us, we'll take care of you. Easy to say, hard to do. Luke 10:33-35. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And that is how God started Kintsugi Ministries. At first, Steve and I had no idea what God was doing. We just wanted to help this young girl. So we make a plan. We live in a 3-bedroom, 1-study, 1-bathroom manse. So we decide we'd clean out the spare rooms and we'd convert the bigger of the spare rooms into a bedroom nursery. So we get excited and we plan and we organise. We're aware of Eva's Place in Toowoomba, if any of you have heard of Eva's Place. Mm-hmm. And so we take Simone there and she's accepted as a client. So Simone receives mentoring from Eva's Place, and along with their help, if you know about them, we're able to acquire the things necessary to accommodate a mum and pup. Baby goods, baby clothes, some nursery furniture, a pram, a car seat. Simone is overwhelmed by the generosity, but starts to see hope for her future. We take Simone to her GP's appointments, ultrasound scans, blood tests, all the while paying for this all ourselves, as she has very little money and cannot afford it. I'm not saying this to boast. It's just something that we agreed to do in service to God. Steve and I believe we are stewards of the resources that God has given us, and so we wanted to help this young girl, and we did it without hesitation. We were praying that God would continue to provide for us so that we could provide for her. Then we're just about ready to have Simone move in when another young pregnant on-top girl comes across our path. I'll just call her Sharon. She's got a similar but different background in PNG, but almost same predicament. We learn that upon delivery of her baby, she'll be homeless. We also learn that Sharon had originally seen her GP early on in her pregnancy to get a termination, but she decided on her own that she wanted to keep her baby. So we pray, we ask around, we see if someone's able to help Sharon and her baby. She's due around the same time that Simone was. So after weeks of prayer and searching and asking people, we cannot find a place to accommodate Sharon and her baby. No one was able to offer us a room. So again, after much prayer and consideration, doors closing, no options, we're desperate and Sharon is getting closer to her due date. We know this girl even less than we know Simone. So we decide to register her for emergency housing. Because we already have one girl coming to live with us, we surely cannot accommodate another one. On our way to Toowoomba with Sharon one day to register her for this emergency housing and to see what options she has available, Steve challenges me by saying, should we offer Sharon to stay with us? And I become completely overwhelmed and my initial response is, oh no, we don't have room. Oh, I don't think I have the mental or emotional capacity for that. However, prompted by the Holy Spirit, as he does, and after much prayer, I agree. I know I need to trust God in this. After all, we do have another spare room. So in reality, we do have capacity for another girl. The house we live in is not ours. It's God's. He lets us live there. Why can we not let her live there? So we spend a few weeks cleaning and organising and culling. We put things in storage, trips to op shops, trips to the dump. And Steve and I end up sharing the study. So we had to also clean out that space. Steve needs his computer to write sermons and I need my computer to study. So Steve and I are squished into the study. So we finally have the rooms ready, and a few weeks before giving birth, the two girls move in. Challenges. There have been many challenges. There have been misunderstandings. There have been cultural clashes. There have been unmet expectations. There have been challenges around looking after a newborn, and Steve and my limited knowledge, because we don't have children. Both girls have been shamed and gossiped about by their own PNG community in the valley. They've been called names, they've been shunned, they've been bullied. After they gave birth, both girls hid themselves away for the first few weeks. They were very hesitant to leave the house. After a while, though, both the girls decided to tell their mums about the babies, but they are still unable and very scared to tell their dads. They are very concerned about their dads finding out. Simone is currently seeking a protection visa, and just recently we learned that she will be granted a bridging visa when her student visa runs out, so we're very thankful to God for that. She knows that she cannot return to PNG. She knows that her dad will be violent towards her and her mum, and she's determined not to take her baby back into that situation. She risks also being ostracised from her community if she does go back to PNG, if she's allowed to live. Sharon, though, would eventually like to return to PNG. Her home life is a little bit different. However, she tells me that in order to do that, she needs to clear her debt. She's not able to return back to her parents who have taken out a loan for her. She needs to pay that back. And in order to be able to return into the community without shame, she needs to deal with some of the cultural implications of her situation. And part of that is naming the dad. So implications. What I've come to realise is that there is a huge gap in the pro-choice, pro-life debate. I'm always pro-life. I'm definitely pro-life. But I acknowledge that with pro-life comes many challenges, including practicalities of having a baby, especially for girls when the father of the baby abandons them or when the girls are far from home with no support or means. Yes, these girls have made bad decisions when it comes to sex. Yes, these girls should be better educated on contraception. Yes, these girls should be taught to only be sexually active once married. Yes, these girls need to take responsibility for the position they find themselves in. And they do. Both girls are very aware of the situation they are in. Both girls have cried and been broken about their situation. But what does God want me to do in this situation, in this space, in this society, in this situation? Answer, be my hands and feet. I'm not their judge. God has not called me to lecture them. He's called me to love them. All that I need to do is trust Jesus and love these girls and their babies. Take whatever I have and share it with those in need. Keep in mind that these girls have no financial means. They are foreign nationals. The conditions of their health insurance does not cover them for pregnancy, as it was within the 12-month waiting period. They're not eligible for any government funding or assistance. They're on student visas, and due to their pregnancy, when they were pregnant, they were limited in their ability to work. But God is faithful. He has provided for us from the start. When people started hearing about what we were doing, the giving was overwhelming. Some people bought us groceries. Some people donated baby goods. Some people donated money. A lot of people prayed for us. One lady in our church, she was an RN for many years, but we've retired. She offered to be the birthing partner for Sharon, and that was such a blessing for her. She really felt blessed by that. One couple in our church gave a second-hand car, and now both girls have their learner's permit and they're learning to drive. Because of the abundance of the donations and support, and after much prayer and wise counsel from our Christian mentors and our loving people in our lives, Steve and I decided to officially start a charity for these girls. We didn't want people just randomly giving us money. We want to be accountable for God's gifts. Steve and I have always had a dream of doing a women's ministry. We've had that for many years, and Val reminded me just before I came up here of Steve speaking to one of his mentors in the head office Church of Christ of, you know, what we would love to do. And she said, just start loving people now, just where you are and with what you have. And God will honour that, and he has honoured that. So we were urged by Steve's mentor to dream big. God is big. So what's the ultimate vision? What does Kintsugi Ministries look like? So we had to figure out, what is our purpose? What can we offer these girls? How are we going to help them ultimately? So the first thing is, our purpose is to serve God and glorify him. Help these girls to know God. Help these girls and their babies to get to know God. And secondly, provide an option for girls who are in a desperate and vulnerable situation to help them make the decision to keep their baby. What will it take for girls to choose to have their baby? The first thing is safety. They want somewhere safe for them and their baby to live. Finances, of course, provisions for medical costs, baby food, clothing, nappies. They need support, someone to hold their baby, someone to take them to medical appointments, someone to guide them through being a new mum. They need spiritual guidance, someone to pray with them, someone to pray for them. And they need a future. They need a qualification or a good job to support themselves long term. So the plan, after much thought and discussion, we decided to start developing a plan for the 12 months these girls are with us. So this program aims to help mum be self-sufficient in the future. So we're looking at exploring study options, childcare options, employment options, visa assistance, budgeting skills and housekeeping skills. We want to give them spiritual support. We're very much into glorifying God. So we're going to help mum grow in Christ through Bible studies and prayer and attending church. Counselling, in particular, trauma counselling. Some of the girls have experienced horrific traumas in their childhood back in PNG, and it still affects them today, not to mention the shame placed on them here from their own community. They need education on contraception, STIs, hygiene, health. So we've thought up a couple of models for Kintsugi. The first model is to house, feed and financially support mum and baby from just before birth up to 12 months, so when baby turns 1 year old. At the three-month-old point, when baby turns 3 months old, so they get 3 months to bond with baby and just get used to being a mum. Mum either earns or learns or both. During this time, the girls can support each other by looking after each other's babies. At the 12-month point, the financial support and the housing will stop, and the vision is that mum will be sufficient to go on her own with those skills. The second model, because obviously Steve and I only have a limited space in our house, and there are many, many young people in the valley in this situation. So we thought we would create a sponsorship for young mums who we can't house ourselves. And sponsorship would include covering medical costs, baby formula, nappies, all those associated things within the first 12 months of baby's life. And so we're just trying to develop that as well, what that looks like, what the conditions are, what the criteria is for that. I am still working on the figures, but we estimate the cost of each mum and bub to be around $8,000 to $10,000 for the 12 months and prior to birth. So this includes medical appointments, scans, blood tests for both mum and bub. It also includes formula, nappies, baby's wipes, all those types of things. It doesn't include the hospital stay for when they give birth, and that can be thousands of dollars It doesn't include food and board and things like mobile phone credit or other household costs. And at the moment, Steve and I just cover those costs for these girls. Because we have limited space in our house, the second model could be applied for if people want to open their homes to these girls. So they don't actually have to financially fork out for the girls, but if they have room that these girls could stay in, we would help them out financially. So that's our dream big. So our dream ultimately, though, would be to have a facility or a house to accommodate as many new mums and bubs as possible. So Steve and I are currently looking to buy a house in Lockyer Valley. So we're going to sell a house in Brisbane and hopefully buy a house in the valley that we can accommodate more girls. My next question was, well, how do I know that God is in this? Am I just got an idea? Have these girls come across me and I've just gone, oh, what can we do? So I sat down and thought about ways that I think God has shown himself in this journey, and I come up with eight what I call fingerprints of God. Number one, he's brought these girls into our sphere through the church and through the GP clinic. We haven't gone looking for them. They have come across our path. Number two, he's stirred the hearts of people to support the girls through donations. We didn't ask for anything. We just prayed that God would provide, and people have been donating abundantly. Number three, he's put people with knowledge and skills in our path to help us establish this ministry. I don't know how to establish a ministry or a charity. People have, the solicitor that we are in contact with sent me all this information, and I was like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. So God has put people with those skills in our path, and it has been invaluable. Number four, God has provided for us, and we know he will continue to provide for us. We have been provided for everything these girls need. Amazingly, I'm amazed by it. Number five, he has placed people who are passionate for what we're doing into a management committee to help us establish this ministry. So other people have been interested, and we formed a management committee to get this ministry up and running. Number six, he's placed it on the hearts of prayer warriors to pray for this ministry. And I have to tell you, prayer warriors are invaluable. And they pray for us regularly. Number seven, he has sparked the interest of people in our community in the Lockyer Valley who are supportive of this, business owners, people that we talk to in the streets. They're interested in what we're doing and they're supportive of us. And number eight, he's opened doors to come to speaking engagements to share what God is doing in this space. So what's happening now? So we now have had the girls living with us coming up about 5 months. We've experienced two births, one boy and one girl. They're 9 days apart. They are both now about 3.5 months old, and they're adorable. It has been such a great blessing to us. It has been such a great learning curve to us. Our house is full to bursting. Steve and I get to watch the two babies grow and reach their milestones. We get cuddles with the babies. Mm-hmm. And when they have a dirty nappy, we just back to mum. So as I said, our house is full. But recently, another girl who is in need has come to our attention. We'll call her Tina. She's also a PNG girl. She has completed her studies and she is working in the field that she studied. When she found out she was pregnant, she was determined to terminate. She didn't want this baby. She's young. She wanted to party. She wanted to have fun. She's a friend of Simone's who lives with us. Simone has been very instrumental in supporting Tina and praying for her and praying she makes the right decision. We also, whenever Tina comes around, we give her one of the babies. So we offered our support to Tina, but she was still unsure about her decision. So we prayed and we got others to pray. Tina made an appointment at a termination clinic in Brisbane. And Simone said to her, I hope that it costs thousands of dollars and you can't afford it. Then Tina went to her ultrasound scan with Simone and something amazing happened. When Tina saw the images and heard the heartbeat, she knew this was her baby and that she had to keep it. So we rejoiced at Tina's decision to keep her baby. And after a while, she also accepted to come and live with us.
Oh.
She's due in April. So we'll move her in sometime in the new year. So that means Steve and mine's study is going to be emptied out. And we will just have like a lounge room study thing going on.
Oh, heck.
So the rewards. There have been lots of rewards. There's been smiles from the babies, smiles from the mums, laughter, companionship, giving, helping, learning. Steve and I have an instant family with instant grandchildren. Steve and I have learned so much how to care for a newborn baby and learn about their developmental milestones. We're always, when are they going to sit up? When are they going to start eating solids? And we're reading all the information. We love it. I was actually blessed to be birthing partner for Simone, and that's just created an amazing bond between us. Most of all, there has been an amazing journey with God and the opportunity to praise and glorify him and become more like Christ. So I've just popped together some praise points. And when I was writing these down, I thought, I can't write too many, otherwise I'd be here forever, even though there's lots. So I've condensed them down. So we praise Jesus for loving these mums and bubs. We praise the Holy Spirit for moving in the lives of these girls to make the choice to keep their babies. We praise God for the blessing of these babies. We praise God for making a way for these mums to keep their babies. We praise the Holy Spirit for the work he is doing in these girls' lives. We praise God for providing for these mums and bubs. We praise Jesus for his steadfast love, faithfulness and care of these mums and bubs. And my prayer points. Please pray that these girls will come to know and love Jesus more and walk in a manner worthy of him. Please pray that these girls will trust Jesus with their future. Please pray that these girls will finish their studies. Please pray that they'll find suitable employment. Pray that they'll heal from their past trauma, hurt, and shame. And pray that they might actually be able to tell their dads. Pray that Kintsugi Ministries will be a blessing to the Lockyer Valley and to other vulnerable girls in need of pregnancy support, because there are lots of them. And please pray that God will continue to provide for Kintsugi Ministries and by extension provide for these mums and bubs. I thank you so much for listening to me and what we've been doing. I also thank you for the kind donation that you've already contributed to Kintsugi. And I'd like to leave these thank you cards maybe on the table. If you'd like to take one, have I got? So they're the bubs. One, obviously for privacy and confidentiality, one of the mums didn't want their bubs identified, but the other mum was happy to do that. And so that's what's on your thank you card. If you'd like to take one and stick it in your Bible or on your fridge and maybe just pray for these young babies.
Mm-hmm.
So Kintsugi, the name Kintsugi is Japanese art for an art where they take broken pottery and they put it back together with gold. So these girls are broken and we're hoping that God will put them back together with gold.
Absolutely. Mm. I think you're already starting to do that, darling. I think that's part of who you are and what you're doing. Wasn't that beautiful? We will all pray.
Thank you.
Those of you who would like to give, please feel free to do so. And I don't know what else to say. I think you're absolutely marvellous. Doing such a wonderful job.
Yeah.